As you can see, the title of the lesson this morning is How to Be a Good Follower of Christ. You know, to listen to how some people talk, you might think that it is a bad thing to be a follower. For instance, Steve Jobs said, innovation distinguishes between a leader and a follower, implying that, oh, follower is someone who does not innovate. He's not good. Someone else has said that you're unique. Don't be a follower. Be a leader. Actress Jennifer Lawrence shared this piece of advice. Be strong. Don't be a follower. Always do the right thing. Well, can't you do the right thing and be a follower? So, you get the impression from what these and others say that, yes, being a follower is not a good thing to be. Well, I'm here to tell you today that it's a good thing to be a follower. It just depends on who or what you're following. I mean, after all, most of us are going to have to be followers. I mean, how many leaders can you have? I mean, I've been in certain situations where it has been said, what we've got here are too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I hope it's not racist to say that, put it that way, but that was the cliche that people said at one time. Everybody wanted to be a leader, in other words. Well, you can't have, I mean, almost by definition, you can't have too many leaders. You have to have one or maybe a few leaders. The vast majority of people are going to have to follow them. So we need to know how to be good followers, and particularly in the context of this lesson, good followers of Jesus Christ. I will say that indeed it can be bad to be a follower, or following can be done badly or poorly. Being a follower can have a bad connotation because it can involve a failure to think critically and wisely and be willing to examine what your leaders say and do, because that can lead to following other people into sin. And we're told in Exodus, the 23rd chapter, verse 2, that we should be careful not to do that, or we must not do that. There it says, you shall not follow a multitude in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. So, we have to be careful who we follow. Peter is an example of one who did a bad job following, because after Jesus was arrested, he fled, and then it says eventually, according to Matthew 26, verse 58, he only followed Jesus at a distance. Didn't want to get too close, didn't want to be associated with Jesus at that point in time. And yet, it is difficult for a person to get to be a good leader without first being a good follower. It is said that the philosopher Aristotle said, he who cannot be a good follower cannot be a good leader. So even if we want to be a leader under Christ, our ultimate leader, we have to know how to be good followers. We have to set the example of following him first of all. Furthermore, Jesus calls upon those who would be his disciples to be his followers. We've just seen from the reading from Matthew 4 that Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. And they did. But it took a while for Peter to be a full commitment follower. Actually, there were three occasions at least when Christ had to call Peter to follow him this occasion, and then later on at the beginning of Luke, the 5th chapter, he had to call him again. And even then, Peter did not understand that following Christ meant giving him a full commitment, because in John 21, which I've cited here, he had to tell Peter not long before his ascension back to heaven that Peter needed to follow him. Follow me. He asked him, "Do you love me more than these?" Apparently referring to the fish and the accoutrements that were used to catch the fish and so forth, the fishing business. Because earlier in that chapter, Peter had said, "I'm going fishing." And he did. So, this is perhaps a little bit premature in the lesson for me to say this, but a follower of Jesus Christ has to be willing to make a full or total commitment to Christ. And then there were others that Jesus called to follow him. In John 4, verse 43, Philip was called to follow him. And then in these other passages from John, and I'll read from John 12, verse 26 now, Jesus called upon others to be followers of him if they were going to be his disciples. So John 12, verse 26, we note, says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." But if we're going to serve and Christ and be his disciples, we have got to follow him. There is a story about a young lady who had to write an essay in order to be considered for acceptance into a certain university. And the topic of the essay that she was to write was this: "Are you a leader?" Well, everybody thinks leaders, that's what you should aspire to be. And indeed, we do need leaders. I'm not saying it's wrong per se to aspire to be a leader, but like I said a moment ago, before you can be a leader, you have to learn to be a follower. And being honest, she said, "Well, I'm not really a leader at this point, but I consider myself to be a very good follower, so that's what I'm going to have to write about." So basically she wrote back and said, "No, I'm not a leader, but I'm a good follower." And she just thought, well, there's not going to be any chance now that I'm going to be accepted into this university that I want to go to. But I had to be honest. And then finally, a letter arrived from the university in the mail for her. And the university explained that they had received essays from over 5,000 prospective students, all claiming to have great leadership skills. They felt that all these leaders, though, needed at least one good follower. So, on that basis, she was granted a spot in the university that semester, because she knew how to be a follower, or at least said she did. When Jesus began his ministry, he did not look for followers among those such as the political or religious elites and leaders of his day. Not those such as the well-educated scribes or the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the priesthood or the political Herodians. Instead, he called fishermen and a tax collector, Levi or Matthew. People like them, humble, simple men, close to the earth, who were willing to listen to him. The others, such as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and so forth, they not only refused to listen to him, they opposed him. They were too proud to be followers. They thought of themselves only as leaders. In fact, a disciple is one who follows a teacher in order to learn. I mean, at that time, this was done very physically. They fell in behind Jesus and walked behind him, and Jesus was in the vanguard. Well, why was he in front? Why was Jesus in front of them? Because he was the one that they needed to see. You know, people are behind you, you can't see them. But if you want to learn from someone else, you put them in front of you. And literally, at least in the first century, in the case of Jesus' disciples, follow him. So you fall in behind, walk behind that individual for the purpose of listening to him, observing him, and learning from him. Now, what I'm going to say basically describes Jesus as a good teacher and what we need to do as good followers of Christ. But yeah, on some lower levels, we are all leaders, even if it's just by our example. We need to realize that as followers of Jesus Christ, others are following us in the sense that they're watching us. They're watching our examples and what we're doing. And sometimes by living as Christians, we can lead others to Christ, because they're interested in what makes us what we are, what causes us to do what we do, what keeps us from doing other things. So the disciple is a follower, and Jesus needs and desires good followers. So let's consider this morning the traits, the attributes, the characteristics of a good follower of Jesus Christ. You know, a great many books and lectures have been written about how to be a good leader. I've got with me this morning, just as an example, illustration of what I'm just now trying to say, which was given to me as a gift. As a matter of fact, I haven't read the book yet, but it's titled Gettysburg's Leadership Lessons. Some of you might have heard of the Civil War Battle of Gettysburg. Well, right over here in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Well, that's what it refers to. And the author of this book took some leadership lessons from what happened during the course of that battle. But just another example of one of the many, many books that tells us how to be good leaders. The emphasis is upon leadership. When do you ever read a book about, or when have you ever seen a book about how to be a good follower? But that's critical too. We need to be good followers as well as good leaders. So the Bible is a book that identifies the characteristics of good leaders, but also good followers. So we want to consider now, and briefly, the attributes of a good follower. What is a good follower like? Well, the Bible tells us. And first of all, it tells us that a good follower has a good work ethic. When he sees something that needs to be done, he does it. He doesn't wait to be told for someone to tell him to do it. He knows it needs to be done, and he does it. Nehemiah, after whom a book of the Old Testament is named, and which tells us his story, was the governor of Judea. And his primary mission, at least in first going to back to Judea from the land of captivity of the Jews, was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he was able to accomplish that task in a mere 52 days. He did that, not all by himself, but because he was a good leader, and as a good leader, he had good followers. Nehemiah 4, verse 6 tells us, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." That is, they had an attitude, they had a zeal, eagerness, enthusiasm to work, to do their job. But second, a good follower does his part. No one can do it all. We have to join together in doing it. Again, Nehemiah and his people were successful in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem despite their enemy opposition, despite the threats that they faced from their enemies, because they had a mind to work, as I said, but also because they literally worked shoulder to shoulder. If you back up just one chapter from Nehemiah 4 to Nehemiah 3, in verse 1, you'll see that this was the case. Now, this is a long chapter, and people might consider it kind of dreary and dull. Let me just give you a sample of what it says by reading the first two verses in this chapter. It says, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brother, the priest, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and the tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zachar the son of Imri built." Now, notice that expression, "next to him." Sometimes it's modified a bit to say "next to them," but it's like that on into the chapter. First two verses are representative of what this chapter says. It just says, who were assigned to rebuild certain sections of the wall or gates. And then it says, next to him or next to them, these people were assigned to that section of the wall or gates. And then next to them, and so on down the line. They were literally working together and cooperating. They were literally working shoulder to shoulder. If we're good followers, we're going to be willing to work with others. This is what Paul said in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 16, where he describes the church under the analogy of a human body. Just like our body parts must work together in order for us to be able to function physically. I mean, I can't have my hand doing one thing over here and this hand doing something over here. If I want to wash my hands, I have to bring them together. I can't walk if my left and right legs do not cooperate with one another. That's the way it works. And so it is in the church. We have to be willing and able to cooperate with one another in order for the body to function effectively. So Paul says this in Ephesians 4, verse 16, "From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of it, up of itself in love." But next, we see that a good follower will not follow the crowds, but instead will remain loyal to a good leader. Some people want to follow a leader simply because he is the most popular leader, not simply because he is right in his views or right in what he calls upon his followers to do, but because he is the one who has the largest crowds following him. When many of Jesus' disciples abandoned him, he turned to his apostles and asked them if they also wanted to go away. Peter, to his credit, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter said, "We're going to stay right here with you. Let the others leave if they want to. We're staying with you." Why? Because you are the one who has what we need. So a good follower will not blindly follow a leader, but will be part of his leader's success. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul called upon brethren to be imitators of him, but only insofar as he was first an imitator of Christ. Fourth, a good follower will make himself, as I said, part of his leader's success. In other words, at this point, I mean to say, He will not be jealous of his leader. He will not try to outdo him or excel beyond him or try to displace him. And that's what some do to some religious leaders do today. Basically, what they do is they tell people what they want them to do and don't respect the authority of Christ. And they would displace Christ in the hearts of their followers with themselves. That's not being a good follower of Jesus Christ. And by the way, leaders themselves here upon this earth, preachers and teachers and elders, and actually any Christian who might in any sense be a leader, even if by example, they must themselves be followers of Christ. So, a good follower will have a submissive attitude. Now, in Hebrews 13, verses 7 and 17, the author's probably talking to or about elders in the church, but they're leaders. He says in Hebrews 13, verse 7, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." And then verse 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Also, a good follower will bring others to follow his leader. It's interesting that one of the apostles, the brother of Andrew, as a matter of fact, actually went and found Peter. Andrew, first of all, discovered Christ, but then he wasn't satisfied with just himself having found the Christ. He was so excited about having done so that he wanted Peter, his brother, also to come to know Christ. So he went and got him so that Peter, his brother, also could be a follower of Christ. As a matter of fact, it's interesting if you look at the life of Andrew, and actually there's not much said about Andrew in the scriptures, but particularly in John, he's the one who is seen as introducing other individuals to Christ. In John 6, verses 8 through 11, he's the one, on the occasion when Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 people from a little bread and fish, he's the one who mentioned the boy who had those food items to Jesus. And then in John 12, verses 20 through 23, when there were Greeks who were seeking Jesus, they talked to Philip. First of all, Philip went to Andrew, and then Philip and Andrew went to Christ. So it seems to have been Andrew's place or decision to see that these individuals who were seeking Christ be brought to him. But as we move on, we see also that a good follower will become like his leader. A faithful follower loves his leader and does not have it as his ambition to excel above him, but rather is content to listen to his words and be an imitator of his teacher because he admires him. And of course, every disciple of Christ finds it sufficient to be like him. Not to be better than him, that's not possible, but to strive to be like Christ. In Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 10, it is said, Luke 6, verse 40. Luke 6, verse 40. Jesus there speaking says, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher." It's sufficient for us, it ought to be sufficient for us, to be like Christ and not seek to be better than him. Some people want to get out ahead of Christ, are not content just to follow His words and do what He says and not go beyond them. Instead, it's as if they want to displace Christ or run ahead of Him. But also, a good follower does not abandon the work he has agreed to do with the leader. Instead, he has endurance and loyalty. Now, on one occasion, Paul and Barnabas were contemplating another trip to preach the gospel, where they had preached the gospel before. Barnabas wanted to take along a young man by the name of John Mark. Now, John Mark had gone with Paul and Barnabas on the first trip, as recorded in Acts the 13th chapter, but for some reason, and we're not told why, we don't know if he got homesick or what, but John Mark left the work and went back. Well, Paul remembered that. And so when the second trip was contemplated, and Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark again, Paul said, no, he abandoned the work. He would not go with us. Now, I know that sounds a little bit harsh, but think about it. The second gospel, the second book of the New Testament is named Mark. This John Mark wrote that book. And while we might think that Paul handled John Mark rather roughly and was kind of, we might say, unforgiving with him, not understanding, not patient with him, you might wonder what would have happened if Paul had not opposed him going on the second trip. I imagine that John Mark was stung. He was hurt by Paul's rejection. But let me tell you, that did him some good, apparently. A lot of good. What would John Mark have been like? Would we have the second gospel today if he had not learned an important lesson in life at this time? Now, later on, I'm happy to tell you, and I think you'll be happy to know, if you don't already know, that apparently relations between Paul and Mark were patched up. And Mark was later a valuable asset to Paul in the gospel. So things were patched up between them. There was no irreparable damage done. It might have been, I don't know, but I'll suggest it might have been that some irreparable damage might have been done if Paul had not given John Mark this stinging rebuke early in his life and said, you know, you need to learn how to stay with the work and not give up too easily when the going gets tough. Because there was an individual who did that. Paul says, while he was imprisoned in Rome, Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. Maybe that's what John Mark would have done. Early in his life, as I said, Paul had not given him this hurtful reminder that he needed to stay loyal, stick with the work. Well, going on, a good follower does not dishearten his or discourage his leader with constant complaining. For a good leader to be, well, effective, he needs followers who are supportive and strong. A leader can't lead if he doesn't have anybody to lead. The Israelites, you may know the story, constantly murmured against Moses in the wilderness. God finally got fed up with them. As a matter of fact, he said, ten times, this is God speaking, you have rejected me, or you have murmured, or you have complained, you have tried me and tested me. Until finally, they were made to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all those 20 years and older died there in the wilderness. with the exception of a few faithful. So there comes a time when God will not put up with the complaining because it is discouraging to the leaders. A good leader also does not quit when the leader needs them most. Good followers strive to overcome their weaknesses for the sake of their leader and for the sake of their cause. Peter, James, and John were, on this particular occasion to which I'll now refer, not very good followers. Didn't do a good job of following because in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Jesus had repeatedly told them, don't go to sleep, be alert, and use your time to watch and pray. And they apparently didn't realize that they were about to enter upon a crisis. You know, if they had really appreciated what was about to happen, and if they had done what Jesus told them to do, that is to watch and pray, perhaps when Jesus was arrested, they all wouldn't have fled. And finally, a good follower does not discourage the leader from doing what must be done. A good follower needs to be an encourager, not a discourager. As an example of how a follower can try to discourage, we have the example of, well, Peter again. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, after Jesus had told his disciples, Peter among them, that he was going to suffer and be killed by the Jewish leaders and be raised up the third day, it says in verse 22, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. So he tried to deter Jesus, his leader, from doing what he needed to do. He got out ahead of his leader. He was supposed to be the follower. But here he was going to try to lead Jesus in what he thought Jesus needed to do or should not do. And that brings on a stiff rebuke to him from Jesus. Get behind me, Satan, Jesus told Peter. You are stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. It's out of your own selfish desires to keep me with you and keep me from being killed, that you try to prevent me from fulfilling God's plan for the salvation of the world. These are traits of good followers. And in conclusion, if a person appreciates and tries to have these attributes of a good follower, then he can be a good follower. And we need to be good followers of Jesus. Jesus said that if we would follow him, then we need to take up our cross and do so. And if we follow Jesus, then we'll follow him right into the place where he is. And he is now in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. It might be that there are those here today who have not yet made the full commitment to be followers of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've not been baptized into Christ on your faith and repentance and confession. If you've not done that, you need to do that this very day. Jesus calls you to follow him, and to do that, you need to do these things, the scriptures tell us. If you have made yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, but have only followed him poorly, perhaps like Peter, at a distance, and you recognize that you need to change that and get closer to Christ and be a true follower of Christ, we bid you to come forward, let your needs be known that we might help you with them, as together for your encouragement we now stand and sing.